I'd like to welcome everyone out to our service this morning, and we welcome as our preacher today Mr. Simon Anderson. Simon has completed his fourth year at the Whitfield College of the Bible. The evening service at 7 p.m. preceded by a time of prayer from 6:30, and Mr. Anderson will take that service. The midweek meeting is as usual on Wednesday at 8 p.m. and Mr. Samuel Fitton, who has finished his second year at the college, will take that meeting. Next Lord's Day, the morning service, 11:30, preceded by a time of prayer from 11, and the evening service at 7 p.m. And the preacher will be Mr. Jonathan Story, who has completed his third year at the college.
Good morning. It's good to see each and every one out in the house of God this morning. It's my joy and privilege to be back again once more with you to minister God's word. We're turning for opening Psalm of Praise, Psalm 40. Psalm 40. We're going to sing verses 1 through 8 together, standing to sing after the introduction, please.
Thank you.
we'll just commit our time together this morning. Seek the Lord's face, seek his help, his blessing upon even our coming together today. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee and praise thee for this thy day. We can say this is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank thee, Father, for the words of the psalmist. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up into the house of the Lord. What a joy it is to be found this day, even in thy house, even singing the praises of Zion. This day we praise thee and thank thee for health and strength that finds us each one, even in this place. We praise thee for that desire which thou hast put even within our hearts to come and to meet one with the other, to fellowship, but most of all, to have fellowship with thee, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We thank thee for that wonderful privilege it is to be able to say, this day I've been redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord, my soul has been set free. And Father, we thank thee, Lord, for that wonderful privilege that we have, the wonderful access we have through the precious shed blood of our Saviour. We thank thee, Lord, for him who loved us and gave himself for us. We thank thee, Lord, for the one that lived that perfect life, who died that perfect death, that we might be redeemed. And Father, we rejoice that we have been saved, not for time alone, but for eternity. And Father, we thank thee and praise thee for each and every one that's gathered in this house this day, that has that knowledge of that saving work within their heart. But Father, this day we are not unmindful of those that perhaps are here and know not what it is to be saved, do not know, have within their heart even that peace, that rest, knowing that they are found ready for heaven and for home. Should this be their last worship service here in the meeting house in 6 Mile Cross? And Father, we just pray at the outset that thou would have mercy upon such in our gathering today. Oh Father, we pray that thou would even draw them unto thyself, we pray. We think, Lord, even of that wonderful, wonderful verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And Father, we pray that you will grant such this day, that everlasting life, that peace, that assurance, that when they leave this scene of time, that they are ready for heaven and for home. Oh Lord, we just pray for each and every one that's gathered with us this morning, each and every family that's represented. Thou knowest the needs that there are even amongst us this morning. And Father, we just pray you be pleased to meet us therefore at the point of those needs. We think of loved ones perhaps that are going through difficult times. We pray you'll even be pleased to meet them there, Lord, at the point of those needs. We bring the verses of thine even to the remembrance this morning, those wonderful promises from thy word that we can stand firm upon. We think of those even of loved ones, Lord, that have been prayed for and they're not even found in this house this morning. They have no desire to be found in any house of worship this day. Oh Lord, we just pray, have mercy upon them. Even speak to hearts in this area. Those of our family, we pray. Oh Lord, we thank thee for thy servant in this corner of thy vineyard. We pray you'll bless him and his wife and family as he seeks to labour here in the days ahead. We think even as he has taken some time on holiday, we just pray you'll even bless him, even encourage him, may he even find rest, even we pray, even ready for the autumn work as it will reconvene in the days which lie ahead. We think of the boys and girls, the young people that are connected with the work of God here in 6 Mile Cross. We think of the year that it has been, that has gone into eternity, how difficult it has been for our children, grandchildren, the boys and girls, the young people. And Father, we just pray you'd even bless them, you'll even guide them, you'll even cause them to look afresh to thee, giving thee the preeminence, that prided place, giving thee that number one in their heart and lives. Father, we realise that thou must have the preeminence. And Father, help us even this day, even each one of us to, perhaps we have given so much of ourselves to thee, but yet we're holding something back. Help us, Lord, each one, regardless should we have been saved even for a long time or just recently saved, regardless what age we are, that, Lord, that thou would even help us each one to give thee the preeminence, give thee thy rightful place
even within our hearts, within our lives. Oh Lord, we so often are so quick to make our own plans, have our own desires, our own ambitions in this world. And Father, how then we come to Thee seeking that rubber stamp, as it were, upon them. But Father, help us, Lord, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Father, we just pray, keep Your hand upon our boys and girls, our young people, each and every family here, even in these days and the days which lie ahead. We thank Thee for even the help that has been given over this past months. We think even of this coronavirus, Lord. We just pray You'll continue even to reduce it among the area and among our citizens. And Father, in all things, that, Lord, that Thy name will be glorified and uplifted and magnified even as a result of this virus which has come amongst us. We lament, Lord, even all these laws and all these things that have been forced upon us that are contrary to Thy word and to Thy will. And Lord, we just pray that Thou would even be pleased even in these days to revive our hearts again once more in the midst of the year. We cry unto Thee. We rejoice, Lord, that Thou hast said that I will build My church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And Father, we stand forth then on Thy promises, and we look to Thee, Lord, even in these days, that Father, that even we as Thy people, Father, that we would look to Thee, that they would even revive our hearts, we pray, even restore unto us the great joy of Thy salvation. O Lord, we pray, deliver us from coldness and deadness, Lord, that so often creeps in even into our hearts and lives. And Father, we pray, help us to give Thee that rightful place, even in all that we say and do. Oh Lord, we pray You'll continue with us here. We think even of those of our denomination that meet together up and down this land of ours. We pray, Lord, You will please to bless them. You will please to bless every minister and student, layman, Lord, every man that's faithful to the blood and to the book as he seeks, Lord, to proclaim Thy the unsearchable riches of Thy word, that Father, that Thou would even come very specially near unto him even this day, and even encourage him in his heart and soul. Even grant him fruit for his labour this day, we pray of Thee. We think of the congregation here, those that are on holiday. We pray You'll bless them, even may it be a time of refreshing, encouragement even away, and may they come again ready for to be part of the work of God here, seek to be an encouragement. Seek to be an encouragement to their minister here. Seek to be an encouragement one to the other. Have that desire then to reach out even to the community at large. And Father, be pleased even to be used, even as salt and light in this corner of Thy vineyard. We're not unmindful of those perhaps sick today and suffering. We'd long and love to be out with us. And Lord, due to sickness, ill health, or perhaps years has crept up, we just pray that You'd even be pleased to draw especially near to them as they would even perhaps listen online or receive a DVD or something at a later date. We just pray You'd even encourage them this day. Even may they know that they are prayed for here. They're still very much part of the fellowship, the work of God here in the meeting house in 6 Mile Cross. We think of those that are working today, works of necessity and mercy. We pray You'll bless them also. May they be used of God even this day. Even may they get opportunity to say a word for Thee, be a witness even of what Thou hast wrought in their heart and lives. Oh Father, come and do our hearts good. Come and brood over this gathering this morning. Lord, without Thee we can do nothing. And we cry unto Thee then, Lord, come and presence Thyself with us in a very real way this day. For it's in Christ's name we'd humbly ask it, and for our Saviour's sake. Amen. Amen. We're turning for a scripture reading this morning to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. It's a joy and privilege to be with you today. We thank your minister for the invitation to come along and the kind words of welcome even received today. Romans 8, and we're commencing to read there the opening verse. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life is in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin
and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We'll read that final verse as well, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. What a wonderful promise is. We'll end our reading there. I wasn't planning to read that verse this morning, but I just have highlighted it there and even written around it. And I was planning to end our reading there at verse 27. But wonder what a wonderful promise even that is, 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will bless even the public reading of his word this morning. We'll turn again in your hymn books to hymn number 625. 625, What a Friend
we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Why, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. And we'll stand to sing after the introduction, please. Turning back to that chapter of Romans, chapter 8, which we read together this morning. Romans chapter 8, with God's word open before you, we'll just bow momentarily in prayer, seek his help, seek his blessing, even upon the preaching of his word this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank thee and praise thee for this wonderful privilege that we have even to come to thee in prayer, to cry unto thee knowing that thou dost hear and dost answer our prayers according to thy most holy and perfect will. And Father, we rejoice even in that wonderful verse that we read together, that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And Father, this day we come to thee now and we ask thee to come and to do our hearts good even around thy word. Speak to us, Lord, minister unto our needs this day. Father, we long to not go through the motions just of attending the Lord's house this day, and to go away from this place unchallenged, unmoved, untouched even by thy word. Oh, Father, we just pray you would even speak to our hearts this day. Speak to us with that voice that wakes the dead. challenge us, we pray. O Lord, whatever it is, the need is this day, that Lord, that thou would even speak to that very need, even this morning in this service as we come around thy word. Lord, I realize my need of thee, and Father, I cry unto thee then to empty me of sin and self. Pour out thy spirit upon me, I pray of thee. O Lord, empty me of self. O Lord, we pray, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Break me, melt me, mould me, fill me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. And Lord, what I pray for myself, I think of each and every one gathered this morning. Pour out thy Spirit upon us. Brood over this gathering now. Let none be seen this morning, even as thy word is ministered. Save Jesus and Jesus only. For in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, prayer is a wonderful privilege that we often take for granted. It's a discipline that many, even today, sometimes can testify to finding somewhat boring. It's a gift that we don't always believe in, we don't always value truly as we ought. And yet, it is in our most desperate times, in those times of desperate difficulty, those times when we seem to, our backs are against a wall and we wonder where to go next, what do? We instinctively come to pray. Most of us know that prayer is speaking to God, but it is so much more than that. It is communion with God. It is communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. That experience of fellowship that allows us to draw near to Him, to find help just at that optimum time when we need it. To be able to draw near to God anytime, anywhere. Regardless, should it be in the daylight hours in which we find ourselves, or in the middle of the night, perhaps whenever sleep is escaping us, what a humbling privilege it is. As sinners, we do not deserve to have this wonderful access to Him. We're not worthy to enter into His presence, let alone speak directly to the Almighty One. However, through His death, His resurrection, He took upon Himself our punishment. He paid the ransom so that through faith we might be made right with God. Have the imputed righteousness of God placed upon us. Oh, our own righteousness, what is it? It's as of filthy rags. But yet what a wonderful thing it is to be made right with God, found safe today, been able to have that wonderful fellowship with Him, our Saviour, in the place of prayer. We who have been saved by grace, we're adopted into the family and fold of God. We are co-heirs with Christ. And this means that we're now able, and we're now belonging to the presence of God. Our vileness has been covered with that righteous robe of Christ. That righteousness of Christ imputed to us, received by faith alone. Therefore, we can have a complete access to the very throne room of heaven, to the Almighty One. We have that access. We have, as you, we could say, the ear of God. And this is critically important to the life of faith. But not only is prayer a privilege, prayer is important. It's important. The reason so many of us are slow to pray oftentimes in reality is because we don't really believe the importance and the significant value there is of prayer. We think we can make it through a day without the help or without the guidance of God. We think perhaps we have enough knowledge, enough head knowledge, enough financial, whatever it is the need is, we have enough. We can do it alone. And perhaps we would never say that openly, but yet subconsciously, as we go through another day and we don't take time to pray, we don't even seek to ask the Lord's guidance on the matter of our day-to-day life, in effect, that's exactly what we're doing. We're saying we can do it alone. We act as though we're resolute enough to resist temptation, strong enough to fight against the attacks of Satan. We believe, really, that we are self-sufficient. However, when we consider the life of Christ, one thing we can't help but notice, the number of times that He withdraws from people to spend time with His Father in prayer. This is noted throughout the Gospels. If you want to take down or turn with me to a few such examples, we have here in Mark's Gospel, chapter 1 and 35, one such example. Mark 1, 35. There in the morning, and in the morning rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. In the morning, rising up a great while before day, in the early hours of the morning. When was the last time that we rose up early in the morning? Before the day commenced, and spent time in the place of prayer, laying out the day before our Heavenly Father. This is what Christ did in the morning, rising up before even the day had commenced. Over then in Matthew 14 and the verse 23, we read of another such example. Matthew 14 and the verse 23. He sent the multitudes away. He went up into a mountain apart to pray. Matthew 14, 23. He went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. In the early hours of the morning, the Saviour went to pray. Before the day had commenced, then the close of the evening, there he was alone in the place of prayer. What a challenge it is to you and me this morning. The importance even our Saviour put on the place of prayer, the emphasis there, that time that spent with his Father was not wasted time. Luke 6 and verse 12, we see another such example. Luke 6 and the verse 12. And it came to pass in those days he went out into the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. All night in prayer. Oh, there's much talk about early days in the Free Church and all nights of prayer. When was the last time either you or I was exercised to sit up all night in prayer? Oh, there's great needs. This last 18 months has been dreadful for so many, dreadful for the work of God, for the people of God. When was the last time either you or I was exercised? As we read of here in Luke 6 and verse 12, it came to pass in those days he went out into the mountain to pray, and he continued all night and prayer to God, the Son of God, who calmed the storms, who cast out devils, who overcame sickness. He knew the importance of prayer and made it part of his daily life. J.C. Ryle, when commenting on prayer, said this: prayer is the most important subject in practical religion. All other subjects are second to it. Reading the Bible, keeping the Sabbath, hearing sermons, attending public worship, going to the Lord's table. All these things are very, very weighty matters, he says. But none of them are as important as private prayer. Prayer, men and women, this morning is important because it refocuses our eyes upon Christ. It gives us strength. It draws us close to Christ, brings us necessary comfort, produces that peace within our heart in those times we struggle. It ignites or reignites that love for God, that greater love for God within our heart. It's a place of refuge is prayer during times of sorrow and pain. It's a place of healing for the hurting. It's a time to seek clarity, wisdom. It's a time of praise, and worship is that place of prayer. Prayer is important, but it isn't God who needs it. God does not need our prayers. However, he has chosen rather to work through them, to heal, to restore, to motivate, to soothe, and to save, to align, as it were, our will in line with his. He brings us rather to that point within our hearts, within our lives, as we seek to pray to him, that we can say within our heart, not my will, but thine be done. In this chapter 8 of Paul's epistle to the Romans, we see the emphasis is on the Holy Spirit, who is mentioned 19 times in all throughout this chapter. And this morning I would like to centre your thoughts upon the subject of prayer, and in particular, praying in the Spirit. I want to draw your attention in particular to verse 26. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Praying in the Spirit. Well, first of all, this morning I want you to consider with me, as we consider this topic of praying in the Spirit, the problems we face. The problems we face. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Prayer is one of the greatest problems in our lives. It can be so difficult to pray, and I expect there's no one here today who would not agree that that is so. While we remain in this body which has not yet been transformed, we suffer many infirmities. These infirmities would cause us to faint, cause us to give up. And yet we're reminded in Luke's Gospel 18 in the verse 1 that men ought always to pray and not to faint. We ought not to give up in the place of prayer. And yet despite this command, we often faint with regard to the area of our prayer life. However, we see there is divine help given to the child of God when he or she comes to the place of prayer. What does it mean here? This phrase before us, helpeth our infirmities. Well, it simply means this, that the Holy Spirit assists us in our infirmities. He helps us to bear them. The word infirmities refers to the lack of strength, the weaknesses that we have, or the weaknesses that we are subject to, the various trials in this life, which the Spirit helps us or aids us with. There are certain weaknesses, lack of power, certain disabilities and inabilities that are resultant from the fall. And that is primarily what is meant here by this word infirmity. As the people of God, we have our infirmities in this life. Yet as believers, we're not weak. And we're not infirm in such a sense as the unregenerate, the unsaved persons are this morning, praise God. Those who have no spiritual strength, they are ignorant of their weakness. They do not go to Christ for strength, nor can they derive strength from them, such as we can, as the believers, as the blood-bought people of God. The unbeliever cannot perform that which is spiritually good. Some Christians are weaker in faith and knowledge and experience than others. Some are more easily drawn aside through corruption and temptation than others. Some have weaker gifts, particularly in prayer, than others. Yet they all have their infirmities. Those infirmities not only include bodily afflictions, but persecutions of men, but the temptations of the wicked one. Oh, that evil one that's always coming there, nipping, as it were, like a terrier dog at our heels, tempting us to sin, seeking us to fall away. Oh, he's never far away. That battle that the believer faces day by day, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those internal corruptions, the weaknesses. Although we are saved and our salvation is absolute certain, we are dead to sin, dead to the law. Paul reminds us in the opening verse of this chapter, there is no condemnation to those who are found in Christ. It's a constant battle with the world, with the flesh, with the devil. We're not perfect. We think of the words of Hebrews 5 and 2. We're reminded there, we are compassed about with infirmity. So we are, we're compassed with infirmity. Surrounded with infirmity. And that's why the apostle writes here in verse 23, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. Oh, as a people of God, we look forward to that day for our ultimate glorification, when body and soul is reunited, and we reach our eternal rest, when we meet again in that glorious place called heaven. And there'll be great reunion there. We meet our loved ones that has gone before. So we dwell here upon earth, we have our infirmities. None less evident than in the exercise and the work of prayer. Yet folks, today, take heart. As the children of God, we are not left to ourselves to sink under the pressure, the strain, the burden of our infirmities. But praise God, read it there for yourself in our text this morning. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. The meaning or sense of the word help, as it is found here, is a picture of help which is received from an outside source. The picture of another strength which steps in to help, as it were, or to sustain us when the burden is too great for us to carry, too great for us to bear. Help when we cannot go it alone. Help when we feel we cannot succeed. The verb help here speaks metaphorically of the help given to infants. Perhaps there's grandparents here this morning, our parents. Those even nieces and nephews, children of your own. And you can remember back watching them as they learned to walk. And as they stepped and they stumbled about and across the floor. And what did you do? Did you sit by and you watched them fall? No, you didn't. As they get up and they tried to take their steps, and what did you do? You reached out your hands. And as they sought to try to learn to walk and sought to strengthen the little legs and get going and up on their feet, every time they went to fall, you had the hands out and they caught you. You encouraged them. Oh, they were tottering around, barely able to walk. However, they didn't let go. You didn't give up. Rather, you stuck with them. Why? Because in doing so, you gave them the confidence to walk. And this is the help that that we read of here, that God gives to every child of God as they battle their weakness in prayer. Our problem in prayer, brethren and sisters, this morning is our infirmities, but praise God, today we can say, likewise, the Spirit helpeth us. Helpeth us. Praying in the Spirit, the problems we face, consider also with me the perplexity that is in view. The perplexity. We see here in our text, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes we hardly know where to start. The place of prayer. How easy it is to become baffled and bewildered because we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It's worthy to note that this is not just anyone who has penned these glorious words that we have read this morning, but rather it's the great Apostle Paul, one that went on with Christ, done mighty works for him. And yet he pens these words. He doesn't speak to the church in Rome in a condescending fashion, saying, you know not what you should pray for. No, look upon the text yourself there in verse 26. With all his great abilities, with all his great talents, with all his fellowship with the Lord, he still writes, including himself, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. You know, many modern translations have lost the true sense of these words in the original text by generalizing, telling us, you know, they're making it easier read, easier understood, and so on and so forth. Using words such as, we know not how to pray as we should. However, our problem is not that we do not know how to pray in the general sense, but rather we do not know what to pray for in the particular sense. When we come to the place of prayer, we do know to pay adoration to God, to thank him for all that he has done, to confess our sins before him, to seek his face for the souls of those we love that are not saved. We know to do all of those things, generally speaking, in the place of prayer. But we don't know how to pray in the particular sense. We struggle. Our authorized version phrases it so exactly, oh, it's still only a translation. Thank God for it. It says so accurately, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Why do we know not what we should pray for as we ought? Well, the reason, men and women, this morning is this, because we do not know what is best. We do not know what is best for ourselves or for anyone else. We do not possess the wonderful attributes, characteristics of God. We are not omniscient. We're not all-knowing. We don't know all things. And we are reminded over in James's epistle, James 4 and the verse 3, how easy it is to pray wrong prayers. James 4 and the verse 3, ye ask and receive not. Why? Because you ask amiss. Let me give you an example this morning. If a man was to go to his minister, his pastor, and seek prayer for his wife who perhaps had recently received a cancer diagnosis, he doesn't know what to pray for. He doesn't know, should he pray that she has healed? Maybe God wants to take her to heaven. Should he pray that the illness go away? Should he pray that the illness may do a mighty work, giving her the grace to help in the time of need, that she may be a testimony to all around? Should he pray as the illness progresses towards death, perhaps that she would become a tool that God would use to bring people to a saving knowledge of Christ? You see, men and women this morning, young people, in a particular sense, we don't know the purposes of God. We don't know the issues of life. Oh yes, we pray for the salvation of people, pray for this, that and the other, as the scripture lays out clearly before us to do so. However, what we don't know is that specifically, that particular thing to pray for, how to pray. We don't know what is his desired outcome is. We have to leave it with the Lord. We must defer the end result, as it were, to our prayers, to his will, to his perfect purpose, acknowledging that it is known to him, but not known to us. Therefore, we pray passionately. We pray earnestly in whatever direction that our heart would lead us. But ultimately, we leave the final answer to him. Is this not what happens in some Pentecostal circles? The answer doesn't come as what is required. The accusation then is made contrary to God's word that, oh, you lack faith. No, men and women, we pray passionately. We pray earnestly in the direction of our heart, whatever the Lord would impress upon us. But ultimately, we leave the answer to him. We don't know exactly how to pray for a person, a particular need, a particular situation. But yet amid the perplexity in view, we have the promise of the Lord as brought before us by the Apostle Paul, that the Holy Spirit is going into our prayers, not because we're using the right words, because we're in the right form, in the right way, or even in the right order. Do you know what the Lord says about wordy prayers? He says, don't waste your time. Over in Matthew 6 and 60, he calls such prayers vain repetitions, which are to exalt man and not to exalt God. What a privilege we have this morning as the people of God to come before him with reverence and in our weakness with a contrite heart, knowing that the Holy Spirit himself, he intervenes to aid us, to help us in our infirmities. Oh, we don't know what to pray for. Oh, never be afraid to admit it. Before God, just come before him. Pour your heart out to him, seeking to pray according to his will rather than pray according to our old fleshly desires. You know, John Calvin, when commenting on this verse, issues a warning to the unsaved. And this is the words he uses. He says, the unbelieving do indeed blab out their prayers, but they only trifle with God, for there is nothing sincere, nor serious, or rightly formed. What about you this morning? Maybe there's some here and you've said prayers your lifetime, but you've never said the sinner's prayer. You've never cried unto God for mercy. Even though you've sat here all your life, you've maybe listened in online since these broadcasts have gone live. Oh, you have a desire to pray, you want to pray. she can't intercede with Christ. You can't get through because you're not saved this morning. Is there not many across this land of ours playing church, playing at prayer, nothing sincere about prayer in which they're offering, seeking out their own desires? They don't know what it is to pray in the Spirit because the work of regeneration have never been wrought in their heart and life. They've never been saved. You want to get through to God, men and women, young people this morning, this is where it starts. Seeking forgiveness for your sin. That's the first prayer you need to pray. And then go forward with Him. Cry unto Him. A sinner saved by grace and the knowledge, He hears, He answers our prayers according to His perfect will. So we've considered this praying in the Spirit. We've considered the problems we face, the perplexity that is in view, but see also the provision which is given. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In Romans 8 here it is clear that the believer has two intercessors, the Holy Spirit and that of Christ. We see here the Lord Jesus Christ Himself intercedes for us from heaven. Verse 34, cast your eyes upon it there. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. We have Christ who intercedes for us from heaven. Other such examples of Christ interceding on behalf of his people are found in the New Testament. If you turn over with me to Romans 7, or rather Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7 and the verse 25. We read another such example. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Hebrews 7, 25. He ever liveth to make intercession for them. 1 John 2 in the verse 1, we read also there of that advocate we have with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We see clearly this double intercession then, as Christ intercedes on our behalf from heaven. Then in our text this morning, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who intercedes for us, in us, and with us. We have the promise of God. He actually hears. We have the promise of God that he'll work in us. He will assist us in prayer. There in our text this morning, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We have the promise of God. He hears us. He promises to work within us. He has sent His Spirit to assist us in prayer. William Hendrickson says of these two intercessions, Christ's intercession may be compared with that of a father, the head of a family, for all the family members. And yet on the other hand, we have the Holy Spirit's intercession. It reminds us of a mother kneeling at the bedside of a sickly child and in prayer presenting that child's needs to the Heavenly Father. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In this chapter 8 of Romans, we have mention of a trio of groanings. If you look there at verse 22, 23 and 26 of Romans chapter 8, we see first of all there's creation's groaning. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, verse 23, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body, our own groaning. The believer groans awaiting Christ's coming, His wonderful, glorious return. And then in our text today, the Spirit's groanings. Verse 26, the Spirit groans as He intercedes for us, His children. having discussed the groaning of creation, the groaning of God's children in these previous verses, then Paul turns our attentions to this, our text this morning, to the groanings of the Spirit. And exactly what these groanings of the Spirit are can be difficult to define. However, it is necessary to say that there is a present and a future sense in which they can be attributed or spoken of. In the present sense, or presently, the Holy Spirit groans with us. He feels the burdens of our weaknesses, our sufferings, even in the place of prayer as we journey through this life. But the Spirit does more than groan with us. He prays for us, that we might know the will of God, that he directs us even in the place of prayer. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We do not know always what to pray, however the Spirit intercedes for us, that we might pray according to the perfect will of God. The Spirit, as it were, shares the burden, directs us, comes alongside us. The believer need not faint in times of discouragement, disappointment, or distress. The Lord is at work even presently in this world. As we read that verse even at the close of our reading this morning, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The Holy Spirit groans with us in the present sense. However, we cannot also say he groans, or rather we can also say that he groans with us in future sense. The Spirit loves the saints, the children of God, and yearns with them for that day when their sanctification, that daily cleansing, will be complete. The work of that daily heart, the work of growth rather, and daily growth in our hearts and lives will be complete. That day when we will be free from all sin. That day when we will glorify God in perfect holiness and perfect reverence and with all joy. Paul points out that while we endure suffering, we have the hope of praying in the Spirit. Perhaps too much of our praying. Because praying in the flesh, maybe long, beautiful, even pious prayers that are glorifying of man, but rather not of God. Prayers we could even go as far to say that nauseate, even sick in a thrice holy God. Paul indicates the most spiritual prayer could be that wordless groan that comes from the heart. I don't need to remind you about Hannah. Oh, how she wept sore. Only her lips moved. Only her lips moved. Brokenness. Aided by the Spirit. The Spirit makes intercession for us. The Father searches our hearts. He knows the Spirit's desire. And this he grants to us. The Spirit always prays in the will of God. The hymn writer, you know, sums up praying in the Spirit so aptly when he penned these words: prayer is the contrite sinner's voice, returning from his ways, while angels in their songs rejoice and cry, be holy praise. No prayer is made on earth alone. The Holy Spirit pleads, and Jesus at the Father's throne for sinners intercedes. Oh, praying in the Spirit. I suppose it's a subject, really, you could maybe preach on for 2 years, and we sought to do it there this morning, and at least an introduction in 30 minutes. Praying in the Spirit. The problems we face, the perplexity that is in view, the provision, praise God, which is given. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We trust the Lord will take that which is of himself this morning, use us for his divine honour and glory, even this day. We'll just conclude our meeting with a word of prayer. Our gracious Father and our God, we Thank thee and praise thee, Lord, even for thy Spirit, for that speaking voice, that guiding hand, even as we come to the place of prayer. And surely, Lord, we have to confess we know not how we're to pray as we ought. And Lord, surely the old fleshly desires raise their ugly head, even in the place of prayer. O Lord, grant us each one that enablement to come before thee with that contrite heart. O that heart crying unto thee, Lord, that with all honesty, not my will, but thine be done. O Lord, speak on, even to our hearts in these coming days. Take us now to our homes in safety, we pray of thee. Bring us back again in thy will to the gospel service in this evening hour, we pray. For in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen.